Hello everyone and welcome to the Round 6 Roundup stream, a little bit later than usual, on a Monday, not a Sunday, but that's how it is on this long weekend. Hope you all had a good long weekend as well. Enjoyed the footy, not quite as chaotic and as exciting probably as last week, but still a few decent games. Obviously the end of the Parramatta game was quite tight there at the end, with Parramatta almost losing it and bottling it. So yeah, unfortunate for the Tigers, couldn't get over the line, and also really unfortunate for Adam Dewey. So I've actually just read from NRL Physio's Twitter account that it looks like the Tigers have confirmed, unfortunately, it is an ACL injury for Dewey, which is really awful. Obviously that's about surgery and I think 9 months that he needs to recover, so that's pretty bad news obviously. So they did a hands-on test, but apparently it's very accurate, so seems as though Dewey's out with an ACL, which is awful. Awful news for him. I think that's his third in the same knee as well, so really bad, not even just from a Supercoach point of view. Obviously to be a really good player, but just out for that long is obviously terrible. That obviously just means another trade that most people are probably gonna have to do. Any Dewey owners probably going to switch to someone like Cody Walker, I think, who absolutely killed it this week. Maybe Dill Brown, although Dill Bag's not quite the best this week. Was going to captain him, but took the vice captain loops points on Cleary, which obviously worked out massively in the end. So I'm glad I did that and I had that option available. In terms of pass scores for this week, I'm seeing a lot of people. I do feel like it is a week with a wide range of scores. Like I'm seeing, you know, the Latrell owners and holders, you know, probably did really well with 140. Seen a lot of people with 1300s. So for example, from Mr. Nisian Warrior, 1323 at the moment, which is huge. Vernon is saying 1570. I'm seeing very big scores here and there. 1351 from KP. You know, anyone who bought Cody Walker, for example, he obviously went huge. Campbell Graham obviously went very big too. Cleary captainers, Brian To'o owners. There was a few people who went really big. But on the flip side, you had people who had Garrick, HIA, only scored like sub 10 points. People who played Camperera only scored like 16 points. People who played Alamotti only like 11 points. So very big range of scores. In terms of the average, or what I think is par, so as always, I took an average of the Podmasters, the two different Podmasters leagues. The average in one was 1162. Average in the other was 1175. So it kind of makes me think around that 1150 plus 1175 maybe is around a par score. So Gazaraki, for example, you're saying 1174, the red arrows. I think that's probably going to be just about okay to hold. I think if you've gotten sub 1150 around the thousands, then yeah, there might be red arrows. I think if anyone's done 1200 plus, you're probably fine. So I think someone earlier in the chat was asking, 1200s, would I be seeing green arrows? Yeah, I think with 1200, you're probably seeing green arrows. Waylord with a really big score of 1367. You know, obviously people who held Hammer Sotabo Fido, he obviously killed it too. So I was unfortunately one of those people who sold for Marzu. Thank God Marzu actually did something and scored a brace and or double. Brace is a soccer term. He ended up scoring like 92 points, thankfully, but obviously Hammer killed it, scoring 120. Alamotti to Marzi was definitely the play, not Hammer. So, but I think a lot of people probably were a bit surprised with that performance from the Dolphins and also from the Cowboys, to be honest. So, a few upsets this week. I don't think I went very well in the tipping. I think I got the Cowboys game wrong. I got the Broncos game wrong. I think a lot of people would have tipped the Broncos, and I tipped the Warriors. So I lost that. So I think I'm on 5 out of 8. I tipped every other game correctly. Thank God the Titans got that last minute game winner. So I was able to get that tip right at least. But yeah, so I think obviously this week is going to have a lot of trade questions to go through. Like myself, I've been toying with a boost the last few weeks. Hasn't quite happened, but I am thinking that this week we'll very likely be doing a boost. So Stefano and the West Tigers have got a buy. Stefano, again, not great, 33. He'll go down a little bit in price, not a whole heap, because he had a break even, I think, of 47. So, you know, Oitekamano, I think it will go. I will definitely try to upgrade to a front row forward. Someone like maybe Tom Gilbert obviously had a very good week, scoring 100 plus. He had a try and try assist, though. So, obviously, his score's kind of inflated. Payne Haas is probably the obvious one, who just keeps killing it. I believe he scored 79 again this week. You know, Tarpany can be back. Maybe he's an option. Although I think the Raiders have got a bye in round 8, which is obviously not ideal if I want to bring him in straight away into a bye. Questions about Tommy Trbojevic from Wolfie as well. Is he a sell with the back injury? So yeah, he obviously was having some back spasms. They had to needle it up at halftime. Looked a bit better in the second half, but obviously the team just got dominated by Penrith. So I did see a few people around the social saying potentially Turbo to Latrell for a couple of weeks, and then maybe bring back Turbo. Maybe it's an option, but Rabbitohs do have the Dolphins this week, and we saw finally the South's attack clicking, but the Bulldogs were really undermanned. I'm not trying to get read too much into that performance. It was obviously good that the Rabbitohs did score a lot of points, but obviously the Bulldogs are very undermanned, and Adokar getting injured obviously didn't help their defense down that left-hand side. So the right side really profited. Campbell Graham got a hat-trick, Latrell got a hat-trick, Cody Walker was just getting, I think he scored a try, but also got like a few try assists as well. Matt Sherwood, 1104. Sin, 1300 without Trell and other big boys. That's a really good score. I think a lot of people probably did okay this week because Cleary was the most captained with 22%, and he obviously killed it, 150 points. I was lucky enough that I was able to take advantage of the loophole and do that. So, Captain Matt Drury, thank you for your services, Matt Drury. Probably a big thank you as well to Josh Schuster for being ruled out, because I probably would have boosted Drury to Schuster if Schuster was playing. The fact that he was out meant that I could keep Drury, and I actually had a loop option, and I probably would have kept the captaincy on Dillback. So it could have been a much worse week for me. But I scored 1196, which I'm happy with, I think, just based on those past scores, or the average, I guess I should say, from the Podmasters leagues. So 1196, I think, is okay. Hopefully get some updates to get over 1200. I'm expecting small green arrow, not a huge one, and then we'll kind of go from there. But obviously, we should hopefully get some more points back this week with Hines returning against the Roosters, who obviously leaked quite a few points to the Melbourne Storm. So obviously Tigers being on a bye will probably mean a few trades for people looking to take out. Obviously now Dewey, unfortunately, with the injury news, and Stefano, I think his time's up in a lot of our teams. He's kind of pumping out between 30s and 40s. He's done a job. He's made some money. Time to, I think, upgrade him to a kind of a better, more stable front row forward. Nickel Klukstad from Steezers. Really like Nickel Klukstad. I think he could potentially feature in the boost, because I think the Warriors have also got a pretty decent buy schedule. I'm just going to quickly bring up my my buy planner just so I can see kind of what it looks like coming up for the Warriors, but I believe they don't have a buy anytime soon. So the Warriors have got one in, it's round 12, so you still got quite a long time before you need to worry about a buy. The draw is not great. Cowboy,
found this on the web.
Oh, shut up, Siri. The Warriors have got the Cowboys. I mean, Cowboys, to be fair, not looking fantastic. Melbourne, Roosters, Penrith, Bulldogs before the bye. It's okay. I mean, Nickel Klukstad is a different kind of kettle of fish, if you want to call it, where he's got a pretty good base stat. So I think even in tough matchups, he can still kind of pump out 40 to 50, and he can do a job, especially if you're looking to upgrade the likes of Alamotti, Campiero. I really like Nickel Klukstad around his price tag. He will go up a bit more in price this week because he did have a negative break even, and he's obviously scored very well. I think he scored like 92 points in the end. Nickel Klukstad is definitely on the radar as well. I'll quickly just bring this up here so you guys can see it as well. But here's a little buy planner as well. So you can see that for the Warriors, don't have the buy until round 12. They do play in round 13, which is obviously quite important, which is the major bye week. So that's also another tick, I guess, in the Nickel Klukstad book. And during the bye period, they obviously miss out in round 16, but they do cover round 19 as well. So there is a couple of, they do cover two of the three major bye weeks. That is handy. So Nickel Klukstad could just be a nice solid option for you that you can kind of just keep as eventually maybe a fifth center wing. But for now, it can definitely do a job in your 17. Dylan Edwards looking unreal. Yeah, Dylan Edwards is definitely looking better. Sweeping both sides of the field, I think, is obviously the appeal with him. It's just a really stacked position. Even the halfback spot really stacked. Just talking on the Warriors and Nickel Klukstad, I mean, Sean Johnson again killing it, 85 points. He had 100 last week against the Sharks. Like, he just keeps on keeping on, but Cleary bangs out 150, and I think Hines still, to me, seems like the priority, in my opinion, because you just know that he can just get those hundreds every week. To be fair, Johnson is looking really good as well. Even Mitchell Moses had a good game today. I think he got like four try assists as well. So halfback, there are a few options now. But yeah, really stacked position, I guess, in the halves. With Cleary, I think, is just going to be locked in for most everyone. Probably Hines, I think, will be one of the most traded in players this week as well, people who don't own him yet. And then in the fullback spot, for example, maybe with this Turbo news, I'd be quite keen to just, so I'll give a shout out as well to NRL Physio and the Magic Sponge podcast, which he does, hopefully he's recording tonight and releases, really great wrap up of injuries during the week. I always like to get his perspective on these kind of things because I'm not an expert by any means on injuries. Well, I'm not an expert at all, really, but he's kind of got that insight and the know-how. I would like to see his thoughts on Trbojevic, because yeah, you can make a play and maybe Turbo to Luttrell is one that I've seen people ask for. Dylan Edwards, I mean, if we're looking at the Panthers draw, Panthers are obviously now looking back to their kind of attacking best, scoring lots of points the last 2 weeks. They've got the Knights this week away. Knights have looked pretty resilient, but still they conceded 20-something points to the Panthers. To the Warriors, so every chance that the Panthers can easily score 30 on the Knights. Then it's the Rabbitohs away, which is tough, but then you got Tigers, which is good. Warriors, Roosters, Broncos, a bit of a mixed draw, but I know we all know that Panthers are one of the best attacking teams, if not the best. So I guess draw is somewhat irrelevant. And Edwards is looking quite good. Obviously, score is huge this week, scoring 4 tries. So 163 points. I mean, 13 tackle busts, like it's crazy. 3 line breaks, like the numbers are just insane. So, you know, the base was about 30, which is fine. I don't know. I'll have to give it more thought because I still think if I was to go for a fullback, it would be Luttrell over Dylan Edwards, for example. Reece Walsh is probably another one who, just again, scored fairly well. I think he scored about 86. Got the Titans this week, so I think most people, like, I haven't thought about selling him this week because Titans is a good matchup for points. But I am thinking maybe the next couple of weeks after that, maybe we look to move to someone like a Luttrell, Dylan Walker. If you want to go for someone who's got bye coverage potentially in round 13, you know, maybe they're an option. Scott Drinkwater potentially, but I don't think a lot of people will be going there. Lachie Miller does cover it. Lachie Miller scored again quite well with 77 points, as did Marzu with about whatever 92. So I know I've seen this quote as well that I think Clone Commanders mentioned as well, was that Trbojevic said he's playing. So I mean, Turbo fit and playing, you kind of, it feels difficult to trade him out. Like, I know Melbourne this week is tough, but then if you look at round 8, it's West Tigers, and then round 9 is Gold Coast. Like, we're looking at 2 weeks there where Turbo could be the most captain player. So it does feel like slightly risky for me. Like, if you can just maybe ride out that round 7 matchup against Melbourne, like, if you don't own Turbo and you see him first in West Tigers, now without Adam Dewey, so who knows how much they're going to improve or reduce in quality. It feels difficult, to be honest, to be selling Turbo. Souths have got a random draw as well where, like, they've had a really tough start, got 2 decent games here with Bulldogs and then the Dolphins, and then they go back into, like, a slightly trickier draw again. So looking at it, let me just find it. Souths, yeah, they've got, you got Dolphins, then you've got Penrith, Broncos, Melbourne, Tigers. Like, it's a bit of a weird draw, but I think, you know, anyone who's insane in the 5-8 category, so I'm seeing Tupra saying, what will Cody Walker's price go up to? To be honest, I have no idea what his break even is. I will check for you. He's got 132 with a 21 break even. Okay, so if I had to guess, he's probably going to get up to like the mid 600s. So he's going to get, I mean, still mid 600s is not a bad price. I know a few people who kind of went to Cody Walker instead of Dual Bags this week, and obviously that move has paid off massively. I had a few people on Twitter asking me as well about trading out Dual Brown. To be honest, I've not really thought about it, especially now. Like, I'd rather add Cody Walker to Dual Bags instead of doing Dual Bags to Cody. I think it's not looking the best with Dual. I mean, he had a couple of nice moments, but Moses really kind of hogged the attacking stats this week. So hopefully that doesn't revert. Hopefully we don't revert back to 2021, where Dual Bags was just a runner, a tackler, but didn't really get any attacking stats. And hopefully 2022 is more likely what we expect. He did start the season well, but yeah, obviously since I brought him in, obviously he's been scoring around the 50s. Not ideal, but we move from there. But yeah, Cody, obviously, he's definitely looked better last few weeks. I mean, even forget the 132 that he scored this week. We're looking at recent scores against pretty good opposition of, let me just find a few there, 80 and 76. Now, he does need a lot. He does need to do a lot to get those scores. Like, I'm pretty sure he scored a double in that week. He scored 76. But we know Rabbitohs when they're fully clicking, and Cody has been a gun in the past as well. Let's see some questions. Yeah, Cody, we're about 650. Aman, why do you always ignore my questions? Clone Command, I'm pretty sure I just referenced you before, so I'm not sure what you're saying. And also, there's 163 people who I'm very appreciative of, but it becomes difficult sometimes to answer everyone's questions. So I'm not ignoring you on purpose, put it that way. I'm trying to pick out different discussion points as we go along. But if you want to put your question now, I can have a look at it. Oh, I can see it. It's Nikira Omulatalo. Ooh, as a trade-in. Yeah, that's something that we should think about, actually, though, is, like, now Sharks off their bye. Do the Sharks cover round 13? They do not. That's okay. They've got a pretty good draw. Bulldogs, Cowboys, Dolphins, Manly, Newcastle. Like, those are pretty good games for point scoring. Even the Roosters, for example, in round 7. Nikora is quite expensive. He is quite expensive. I think he's, like, over 700k. Whereas I think Mulatalo is much cheaper. So I would be more tempted to go with Mulatalo, just also because second row forward, I think you probably have quite a few good options who can maybe get similar to Nakura or kind of match it. Center wing, maybe not as much so. So I think, like, I'm looking at Mulatalo, last 4 weeks, 60, 70, 96, 82. He scored tries in every one of those games, but with Hines back, we know that those are obviously good games for... we know that with Hines back, he can score tries. I would probably rather go to Mulatalo. Just, it's a bit cheaper. Think he can go similar in price. So similar price, similar endpoints. Is Bateman decent? Yeah, Charles, I mean, yeah, Bateman obviously got that good attacking stat, that try assist, but kind of a tough one to think about this week because they've got the bye in round 7, so no one's really going to be looking to buy Bateman or West Tigers players in general, but could be an option for second forward. Again, this is one of the things where, like, if you go into Clone Commander's questions, if you didn't go Nikara, there's heaps of other good second row forwards out there, whereas center wing probably not as good in terms of the upper echelon of players. Like Ruben Garrick now, I think with his really low score, like I'll be looking to pick him up in round 8, hopefully for a nice cheap price. But, you know, there's him, there's Val, Toto's obviously had a very good week, Mulatalo, Mazu. So there are a few options, but I can probably think of less good center wing options than maybe say second or forward. Second or forward, there's heaps of really good options we can go to. Eli Katoa still scored very well. Murray has scored well the last 2 weeks, classic, after everyone sold him. Fifita has been killing it as well, 76 points without any real major attacking stats, pretty much all base power from Fifita. So I'm really happy with Fifita and just holding him through that bye as well, like 9 tackle busts, so 18 points there. Even outside of those tackle busts, 21 in tackles, including the missed, 52 in base from Fifita. Like that's quite good. So happy with Fifita. Obviously we know that he's got that upside. So he's a good second or forward option as well, who's actually cheaper than Nikara, for example. So yeah, I know I'm probably spending quite a bit of time on that question, but yeah, I'd probably say Mulatalo. Benny says, well, didn't I pick the wrong 17 this week? Yeah, I think a lot of people would have been burnt this week, you know, picking the likes of Alamotti or Khan Pereira. Even Taruva didn't do great, 30 points. I've seen a couple of people who benched Hamaso, Tabuai Fido. Now, that would hurt. He's got 120 points. Like, you don't even want to see that. You don't even want to see, like, 60s or 70s on your non-player. Seeing 120 is just painful. So, unfortunate. Sorry, Benny, to hear that, but hopefully some more bold choices for you next week, and we can... right the ship. Did Dewey redo his ACL from Hamish? Yeah, so it sounds like he has. So NRL Physio has just tweeted basically saying that the Tigers confirm assessments suggest that Adam Dewey has suffered an ACL injury, a third of his career to the left knee. Hands-on test was performed by medical staff, which is normally very accurate. Would be facing surgery and 9+ months recovery. So it sounds as though that's pretty much been confirmed. Yeah, which is unfortunate, obviously. Is Garrick a sell? Now, I don't know if Garrick is a sell. Like, he's going to be out for 1 week. Obviously, he's going to go down in price, but let me just... Sorry, I've got a little light on the right-hand side. 8 points. Oh, geez. 8 points with a break-even at 87. He could be, like... He could be low 600s by the time a lot of us want to buy him in round 8. I think if your center wing depth is really tested this week, then maybe, but otherwise I feel like he's okay to hold, because you've got really good games in round 8 and 9, where you've got, where was it, West Tigers and then the Titans here. So I feel like Garrick, I'd want him straight back in round 8, so maybe if you want to do a bit of a roulette where you want to sell him, maybe this is something I've just thought off the top of my head. him to Mars, you make some money, but then find another way to get to Garrick. Maybe that's an option, but it does feel like you are burning two trades to get him out and in, so I don't love it, to be honest. Any options for a center wing or second or forward downgrade? I mean, second or forward, first one that I can think about is Schuster. I know Schuster had another setback injury-wise, which isn't great. He's not had a clean start to the season, but he's one who I think, you know, if you are looking for a downgrade, and it doesn't have to be a player that you need to play in your 17 each week, probably Schuster. That's who I'm potentially looking at this week. Center wing doesn't feel as easy to say. Nickel Klukstad isn't really a downgrade, but yeah, definitely will be a talking point this week. I think with the likes of Alamotti and Khan Pereira, people might be looking to move them on for this week, basically. But in terms of a downgrade, hard to think any of the top of my head. Unfortunately, I need to go back and look through the tapes and the just look through the scores and everything like that. But no one sticks out in my head to start off with. Which of the low scoring center wing options this week are holds and sells based on BE and draw? So BE is a bit harder to say. I mean, Khan Pereira had a very low score, but he had a really low negative break even. And that 117 will still be in his rolling average. So if we have a quick look, so remember, obviously break evens are based on 3-round rolling average. So, let me go to Khan Pereira. So he's still got that 117 in his rolling average, and will be there even next week. So potentially he still has a very low break even next week. So he might be one that can still be held next week. Alamotti is going to go down in price, and he will have a much higher break even. So he is one who's probably more of an immediate priority in terms of the break even standpoint if you wanted to move him on, because he had a break even of 40, so he'll probably go down maybe 20-30k cash, so it'll be 360. He's probably going to be in the downwards trajectory. I'd probably say similar to Warbrick, because Warbrick's big score, I think, is now going to roll out after this week. So if we go to Warbrick and his last three scores. So you've got, you got the 88 and you had the 58. So, and now he's gotten the 16. So that 88 is going to drop out this week. So his break even is going to be a little bit higher. So I'd probably say Alamotti and Warbrick will be, based on the break evens, a bit more priority to sell for like kind of money management, whereas Khan Pereira, I think, still has potential to go up one more time in price rise. Let's see some questions here. Just want to say that this stream is much more entertaining than Fox Sports post-game stuff. Well, Playmaker, I appreciate that. To be honest, I don't really watch too much of the non-Fox or the Fox shows apart from the footy, so maybe I'll put my name in the hat to jump on Fox Sports and change up their post game content. But no, thank you for being here. 1601. Who scored 1601? From Benny, you've seen a 1601. That's crazy. And he had an AE. He played Tarpany. Yeah, wow, that's crazy. He must have had like Latrell, Walker, Cleary, captain To'o. Asako is another one who just keeps on killing it. Like, my God, Asako just keeps on destroying it. 118 points this week. He's been absolutely killing it. Tabafido. So I imagine that 1601, he would have had to have nailed all of those big scores, but huge. Harry says, Khan Pereira is looking at a single-digit positive break even next week. Yeah, so I think hopefully he sticks for the next week in terms of just going up in price a little bit more. Is Isaac Tungo an option? Yeah, look, he's been on a tear. So he obviously had that really big week against the Raiders, but he's backed it up with a pretty good score this week of 76. They just kept feeding him the ball. He was versing he was up against Morgan Harper, and we all know what happens with Morgan Harper versus an electric center. Hello, Sivitalikai from 2022, round six. Isaac Tungo has looked really good. His base has always been good. I mean, he is killing Taruva out there. I'm seeing a question about, is Taruva a hold? To me, he doesn't feel like the biggest urgency or need to sell, because he's, at the end of the day, he's still playing for a gun Panthers team. Tungo is definitely, though, sticky hands. He does not pass it very often. Even when Taruva's in space, Tungo just loves to take a run for himself, which is a bit frustrating. I don't know why, maybe I'm just thinking about this top of my head, but I feel like with Taylor May last season, Tungo was way more willing to pass him the ball. With Taruva, he's just like, nah, I'm just going to run myself. Maybe it's also a thing about last season where Tungo and Taylor May were both rookies. This year, Tungo's had a year under his belt. He's won a comp. bit more confident. He's just like, you know what, I'm just going to run more and more myself. Tarouba, you're the new guy here. I've been here before. I'm going to take ownership now of this left-hand side. Maybe that's a theory. Maybe that's my theory. So, but Tarouba still doesn't feel like the biggest hold. He doesn't feel like the biggest sell, in my opinion, just because it's still a really good Panthers team. But Tonga is a good option. Pretty cheap price. Seven. He will go up quite a bit. He'll go up to about 660-ish, I want to say. I mean, as we said, with the Panthers' draw isn't amazing. They do have the Tigers in round 9, which is good. Well, actually, they've got the Knights this week, so it could be a sneaky pod. I don't think the Panthers cover round 13, but we all know that he was very good for us last season. He's a sell because of Tungo. Yeah, there's a lot of people who don't like Isaac Tungo here, and I agree. He doesn't pass the ball at all. My dad scored a 1440 and thoroughly smashed me in a head-to-head this week. That's bragging rights for your dad, Moz. I'm sorry to say that. Any thoughts on who to trade the Pete cash cows for? Heard shots of Croker last week, but didn't think he'd be too reliable. Yeah, with Croker, it's kind of... I mean, he's 7 games off now, 300, so maybe there's potential where they just keep him in the side. Maybe he's a downgrade option. I'm thinking more with those cheaper center wings to try to upgrade them. As we've been talking, we're talking about like some Mulatalo, Isaac Tungo. There's still Marzu and Miller doing very well. Nico Klukstad. I think there's a few options who I like would rather upgrade my center wings to. It doesn't seem like there's any standout cheapie. Maybe Hayes Dunster from the Eels. He did play this week, but that's only really, I think, because Bailey Simonson has been suspended for this week and next week. So there's no security as well, I think, with Hayes Dunster. He's maybe an option. Yeah, I'm thinking centre wing. It's a bit hard to think about any cheaper centre wing options. Actually, as someone's mentioned in the chat from Cameron, the Tiger Wing, who scored 100+. So Junior Tupou. He looks very good. I think he had like 4 line breaks. Now, obviously, downgrading to him this week, he's not going to change the price. They've got the buy. Maybe he's an option that week after next, maybe Campero down to him, potentially frees up like 100K. I will say that the Tigers' attack did look a lot better this week. They were definitely shifting the ball a bit more. I think they did look overall better. I don't know if that's the Tigers or if it's Parramatta, just kind of letting teams concede, score points against them. But maybe, yeah, he becomes an option as well. From Dane, whispers that Marzu re-injured his hip flexor. So I think that was tweeted from a fake Barry Tui account. So I did see that as well. But if you go see that tweet, the spelling of Barry Tui's first name is with an E, which the actual official one doesn't. So yeah, I think that tweet was fake. So I wouldn't read too much into it. We'll find out tomorrow anyway from TLT. But no, I don't think it was legitimate. Whose idea was it to captain Dealbags? Sorry about that. I was pumping up Dealbags on Twitter saying, yep, captain him. I felt okay about it because I had Cleary vice captain and I knew I had the loop option available to me. So I was like, you know what, if Cleary goes 100, I'll probably keep it on Dealbags. But Cleary went so big, I was just like, I'll just take the points. To make it not worthwhile for me, I needed Hopgood and Dealbags to combine for like 160 points in the end, and I was like, what's the chances of Hopgood and Dealbags getting 160? It would need Dealbags to like match his best ever score of like 130 or like get close, 110, 120, and Hopgood getting 50. So I was like I'll just take the guaranteed points. But unfortunately for all those Dealbags captains, I feel for you. Look, I still own him. I wanted him to do well, just not so well that I made my loop not worthwhile. But yeah, only 46 points. Slightly concerned, obviously. Not getting the points I would have hoped for. But we'll stick with my boy. But people who are saying a 50-50 Cody versus Dealbags, I mean, I'd probably say Cody at this point, to be honest. Let's see a few questions here. Questions about Sonny Luke as well. So yeah, Wade Egan obviously suffered a concussion. Now, I think it was a Category 2 concussion. So I don't think he fits into that mandatory 11-day stand down. They may just rest him anyway because it is his second concussion of the season. If that's the case, then yeah, Sonny Luke scored quite well. He scored about 59 points. I think he played about 53 minutes. They used Mitch Kenny a little bit more as a middle this week. So it wasn't like they were splitting the 80 minutes between the two of them. obviously with Liam Martin out being out and Fisher Harris being out, this might actually be good for Sonny Luke. So just looking at the minutes for the Panthers. So yeah, Mitch Kenny played 57. Sonny Luke played, where is it here? He played, I can't even see him on the list here. What's going on? I'm looking at the Raiders game, no wonder. I was like, Sonny Luke was out that week. Sorry, let me find it. Here we go. So Sonny Luke played 54 minutes, Mitch Kenny played 51. Sorry, that's the correct way. So I think Sonny Luke playing 54 minutes is encouraging. With Fisher Harris being out for probably the next 4 weeks, there could be more of Mitch Kenny playing more middle. Liam Martin is due to come back, but yeah, I think Wade Egan owners, if you are looking for a downgrade, I have always kind of said that I think Sonny Luke's the one I'd prefer. I just think playing for the Panthers team, he's more likely to get attacking stats as long as the minutes are there. He scored 59. If you've got Harry Grant as your main hooker, just bear in mind that you will need to play Sonny Luke in round 9 when the Storm have the bye. If you're fine with that, then cool. I think he's fine for a downgrade. He might get you between 35 to 50 points in that week, which is, you can probably cop it, I think, for that week. So yeah, Sonny Luke, I don't mind, especially Wade Egan owners. Reid Miney did score well this week, 70 points, did get a couple of, I think he got an attacking stat and a 40-20, which helped. So yeah, I thought if he kept giving me some low scores, I'd maybe have to look to sell him for Sonny Luke to make money. But now I'm thinking we're already getting to round 7. I might just hold him to cover him for round 9 when Harry Grant is out. If I can play Reid Miney, that'll obviously be fine with that. And at that point, maybe I'll look to, because the thing is, I feel like there's just other trades in my team that I need to prioritize now for downgrades. The center wings, probably front row forward, I 100% need to upgrade. Who else was there? Hopgood's another one. I think that I feel like there's just other bigger issues in my team than Reid Miney, and he's done decent the last couple of weeks. So J-Dog is saying spurge on Munster or settle with Cody Walker and spend the extra cash elsewhere. Now, Munster obviously scored very well this week. 114 points it was. Yep, 114. Also, apologies to someone who asked me earlier in the week, would I sell Nick Meaney to Mazu? Now, I'm thankful that Mazu scored 92. You're only 4 points down on that trade. But yeah, Nick Meaney looked actually quite good this week. I would still think about going Cody and taking the cash, because Melbourne have got this buy in round 9, it's really annoying if you're trying to buy a Munster this week. Whereas if you buy Cody, you'll get the Broncos, which is not great, but look, Broncos are still still susceptible to leaking points. And if you buy Cody now, you've got the Dolphins matchup. Who's Munster got? Manly and Warriors. You're just getting an extra game out of Cody the next 3 weeks, which I think would make me sway to him. And if that extra funds lets you do something else really good in your team, then I'd probably lean towards doing getting Cody. Also, by the way, guys, we've got 206 people watching, which is amazing. If you guys want to give the stream a like, if you are enjoying it, please do so. It really does help me out. Dubags will update a couple more points. Yeah, so he only got a try contribution for that first try. Potentially he gets a try assist. Supposedly, if a player puts through a kick, and say, like, what happens with the Dubags if he offloaded it from a kick, you can have multiple players getting a try assist. It doesn't just have to be one. So there is potential for Moses to get the try assist and for Dylan Brown to get the try assist. His offloads will update as well, because I think they're all marked as ineffective. I mean, his offload was pretty effective. It let Clint Gutherson go over for a try. So yeah, he should hopefully update. I mean, if he gets that try assist, a couple of updated offloads, we're probably looking at an extra 18-ish points, which would get him up over 60, which would make me feel a little bit happy about that as well. Best options to replace Hopgood. Lots of second row forwards out there. Nikiro is not a bad shout for a second row forward. If you're downgrading, it still seems like Schuster is the best standing out cheapy. But apart from that, you've got heaps of second row forwards. I mean, you could even go back to Cam Murray, who's done very well the last couple of weeks with some attacking stats. You've got Hosking, maybe. Hosking still did quite well with 61. Hopefully this week we get some better news or some firmer news on minutes around Hosking with Garner everything. Fifita, if you haven't got Fifita, I like him still. Jackson Ford scored a quite late try, but that obviously did help boost up his score. Eels, Ryan Madison maybe is an option. pumped out 67. Like, he's just doing a job. So mid-60s, you know, Madison could also be a shout too. Sean Lane is a bit more of a punt. Just trying to see what Lane scored. Only 32 points, so not ideal. But yeah, sorry, to answer your question, there's lots of second row forwards. Around his price tag, mid-500s. Can't think of a whole heap off the top of my head. Sorry, it's very fresh in the mind. We'll have to keep doing some research today and probably tomorrow before TLT. Also, I'm not 100% sure yet if I'll do the TLT stream tomorrow. I might just do it on Wednesday, given that I've already just done the stream today. But I'll keep you guys posted on that. Dewey to Brown was sideways. Yeah, look, in the end, Dewey's outscored him over the last few weeks, but unfortunately with this news for Dewey, he's going to be a sell anyway, so I feel like a lot of people may still move to Dylan Brown, so I'm kind of a trade ahead, I guess, in that sense, but I'm sure a lot of people, if they're trading Dewey, will go to Cody Walker this week, not Dylan Brown. So yeah, it wasn't the best move, but what can we do? I saved trades this week and I got punished. How did Hosking get 60? He was nowhere to be seen. Cardi gets a try and only gets 60. Well, I think Hosking, he was offloading quite a bit. So I think he got quite a few offload points. So, I mean, yeah, we're looking at 12 points in offloads. That's probably the main difference. I didn't really see Cartwright offload too much. Remember, Cartwright's try was also off a kick. So no line break associated with it. And like Hosking's base, 28 points plus 21 is what? 39? No, I can't do maths. 49. So basically, he scored 50 in base, which is pretty solid. Cartwright, I don't think, just really had as much work rate. Remember, Eels were on the back foot for a lot of the second half as well at times, so not really taking a lot of runs. 14 plus 31. So they got similar base stats. But yeah, I think the difference is Cartwright had no tackle busts and offloads, whereas Hosking had like 6 offloads or something, or 3 offloads, I should say, plus some tackle busts as well. Front row forward options. Oh man, I really need to think about this week. I think Moz asked earlier in the chat trade plans for this week. Yeah, to be honest, front row forward has to be dealt with now that with Oitumanu's got the bye. Robbie says watch Cardi and Hoskins and tell me they both scored 60. I don't know what to say. I'm not going to sit there and watch them. I'm not going to count their tackles. I'm being honest. Just going to say that. This is just what the scores are. But yeah, Oitumanu, I think, is going to get traded for me. What is it priced at? Low 400. So I'm gonna need like 300k to get to Payne Haas, which is annoying. Maybe Tarpany. But, I mean, I could probably do Hopgood down to Schuster, Oitumanu to Haas, and then maybe one of the Warbricks, Alamotti's, if I can afford it, Camperera, maybe an option. That's kind of what I'm thinking early stage for a few trades. If I need to downgrade front row forward, Lindsay Smith maybe potentially an option as well. Who else we got? Gilbert obviously scored very well this week. So he scored, 100 and something points. He did get a try and a try assist, but that obviously helped. I can see Mud Crab, I think, in the chat as well, suggested Herman Sasa. So yeah, he scored 55 points. Let me see. I think all in base stats pretty much. Yeah, lots of offloads. So basically just runs, offloads, and tackles. Very cheap price at 335k. Just going to have a quick look at his minutes just to see how those looked. Let's have a quick look-see here. Cowboys-Dolphins game I wasn't able to watch live. I had to just watch the highlights of it. So I wasn't able to get probably a good feel for SASA during the game. But he played 33 minutes, so those minutes are not great. I mean, he did a lot in those minutes. 55 points is obviously a great PPM. 33 minutes is a bit, it's not encouraging. You know, I'm looking at Gilbert, 72 points at lock is obviously very good. Like Nichols played more minutes than SASA, 50 off the bench. Ray Stone played 49 minutes off the bench, so SASA's minutes maybe is just probably the concern, so I'm not sure how much I read into that. I mean, the 55 is obviously good because it's a really good PPM. But like last week, he played 38 minutes and he scored 29. So just how sustainable that is in terms of what he scored this week, it's hard to get a feel for that. Who do we go Uto to if not a gun from Steezers? Yeah, if it's not a gun, it's probably going to be one of these like Lindsay Smiths. God, it's honestly so hard to think about. Maybe like a Tom Ale from the Warriors who's just come to my head. Bunty Afoa, I'm sure Anton Poser would love that one. I mean, but even again, they're not really... I mean, Tom Ale scored 60. Sorry, I did not realize that Tom Ale scored 60 points. That's very good. Only in base, that's encouraging. I know he's got really good PPM just from doing his stats in the preseason. I know Tom Ale had a really good PPM. He's been averaging... That's the issue. He's been averaging 17 minutes so far this year. I guess I saw Anfernal Blake copped a knock or some kind, or he was down during the game when I watched the replay. I wonder if that was something that actually got is sustained long term. I just want to have a look at his minutes, that's all. It's really hard to think about who is the best when minutes can be all over the shop because of injuries in game and everything like that. He played 46 minutes. Now this is Tom Ale I'm talking about. Like, that's a real big step up from his previous weeks. Like, the last 4 weeks before that, 16, 21, 15, 25. So it's obvious that if he gets the minutes, he's good for points. But yeah, maybe, I don't know about him. Job security is, yes, and this is the thing. Sorry, I've completely forgot. Tohu Harris has obviously not been playing. As soon as Tohu Harris is back, that just kind of eats into Tom Ale's minutes. Max King. Yeah, look, Max King is solid. Also, apparently Max King loves Supercoach. I don't know if you guys knew this, but yeah, apparently he's quite keen on Supercoach and he actually likes it. Makes me wonder if that's why he's a bit keen to chuck some offloads. We love that, don't mind that at all. If we know there's a player who loves Supercoach, we know that they're a bit more likely to pump up their stats a little bit. So yeah, Max King is obviously potentially an option with the Bulldogs middle forward issues. He's a fairly low price, 602k. I think his break even was around that, yeah, 55. So he's going to basically stay the same price. So maybe he's one to consider. Seeing some people suggest Jack DeBellin. So he, I think, was named on the bench this week. But yeah, he's... Let me see what his minutes were. I mean, 35 this week. Let me just have a look at his minutes. Sorry. Titans, Dragons. Dragons, 39 minutes off the bench. I don't know, it just feels a bit and he's 570k. Oh no, I think he's just too expensive. I would just go 30k more and get Max King, to be honest. So yeah, probably not DeBellin. Max King does play the round 13 bye, that is correct. He will play that week. Where's the Bulldogs? Here it is. No, he doesn't. They have a bye this week. Please don't tell me I've got this draw wrong. Let me just double check this on NRL.com. I really hope I haven't stuffed up this draw planner somehow. There was bound to be a mistake when I'm just sitting there typing this in the preseason. But according to mine, he does not play round 13. Let me check this out. Bulldogs schedule. No, they've got the bye in round 13. NRL.com says they've got the bye in round 13. So he's a good shout, but obviously he doesn't cover the buy, but still decent option. Clemmer. Oh, even Clemmer, like he's not like, this is the thing. I'm just like, I'm hearing these names. I'm just like, I'm not thrilled about any of them. He's got the buy this week as well. I'm just thinking, I'm either going to go Gilbert, Tarpany, Fasumula-Awi or Haas and or Max King maybe. Max King is definitely a shout. And just ride it out. Like, I just don't want to take a punt on someone and then have to, and realize that they were the wrong option and then have to trade them out again. Like, I just want to get someone who I'm just happy with for the rest of the season. If Tohu's back, maybe Tohu. Like, you know, Tohu is probably going to be, I think I mentioned something about Tohu earlier in the chat. I'm not sure if that was him being available or not, but like, maybe Tohu, if he's back, could just be an option just because we know that he's a warrior. Yeah, no pun intended. Like, he's a machine, that man. Yeah, he's got 102 break even at 636k. So he's even not that much more expensive than someone like Max King. So maybe he's an option. A lot of front row forward chat, a bit more front row forward chat than I was expecting, but obviously a big topic this week with Stefano being out. I think a lot of people are upgrading. Would I upgrade Welch if I already owned Payne Haas? Probably not. Like, I think Welch is just ticking along mid-50s, absolute plodder. Just locking in 50 points each week is fine at his mid-400 price tag. So he's probably someone who I think, again, I'll be just sticking with. Dan Safidi, yeah, so this is from Clone Commander. So I'm looking at his last few weeks. 52, 47, 42, 47, 69. That 69 did come in with a try assist and a line break assist, I think, against Manly. So, like, his base has been very consistent. 48, 47, 42, 41, 47. But nothing else really. He is 482k, so he's kind of cheap. But, like, you're only getting maybe 10 points better than what Stefano is. I feel like if you're just going to go through the effort of upgrading him, maybe just, like, go for those guns and just leave it at that. Yeah, anyway. Too many options at front row forward who I'm just not thrilled by. Alright, Totola, if not injured, yeah, look, even Totola is an option too. How did he go this week? Let's see. Tevita Totola. This ring light is really in the wrong spot. There we go. Why am I in the Dolphins game? Sorry. Totola. Only 30 points. I think he also copped a knock during the game as well, didn't he? So I think his minutes were also affected, if I'm not mistaken. Rabbitohs. Yeah, he played 29 minutes for his 30 points. So, yeah. Obviously, the person who mentioned that, who mentioned it, was Braden. Yeah, if not injured, yeah, maybe an option. Pretty cheap as well, I think. He's like, I think he's around the 500s, isn't he? Yeah, he's 535. He will go down in price, though, so he'll be sub 500k. So maybe he's an option. In terms of downgrades, yeah, probably that Lindsay Smith guy. Lindsay Smith guy. Sean Kepi, maybe. He might get you 35, 40. Yeah. Anyway, there are a lot of questions about front row forward, and deservedly so, but see if there's anything else coming out. Garrick, hold or sell? We kind of spoke about this a little bit earlier. I think I'm fine to hold, just because round 8 is Tigers, and then it's the Titans straight after. I think you just cop it. If you're going to sell him, remember, if you sell him, you're going to be losing that value. If you just hold him, you're not going to be losing the value on him. Ruben Cotter, that's actually not a bad option as well. Yeah, maybe Cotter. So I can't even see what Cotter scored. 48 points is not bad. It's not bad. He will go down in price, which is good. Cotter was obviously, a lot of people were very keen on him to start with. Although, even before his injury, a lot of people were thinking of maybe selling him. You know, he was getting 63, 52, 43. Minutes were a little bit here and there. Like, his minutes were actually just trending down. Todd Payton just going back to his weird way with minutes and rotating them. So it was very difficult to get a read. He played 59 minutes this week, though, which is encouraging. So Cotter is also a shout. Cotter is also a shout. Fifita in for Isaiah Yeo. Haven't really spoken about Isaiah Yeo at all, really, this season. Only the 50 points. He is ball playing a lot. I mean, he's just getting the ball to Cleary and to Luai. So I do think Fifita is looking really good. Even without Foran, he's still putting in good base stats. Plus, we know the upside with him, the tackle bus and everything. So, yeah, I do think Fifita is a much just better option than Isaiah Yeo. So I think feels slightly sideways, but no, I think I'd probably do that. When is the Raiders buy? I think the Raiders buy is in round 8. Yep, Raiders buy is in round 8. That's the only downside of going with Tarpany, is that you need to just need to accommodate for that round 8 buy, which is frustrating. You'd have to play one of, well, you'd probably have to play Moali. Bowie says, just go back from the Tigers game. Are you a Tigers fan or are you a Parramatta fan? Hopefully you're a Parramatta fan who's seen the team get a win and not a Tigers fan who's seen another loss, unfortunately, and Dewey getting injured is really sucky. Lindsay Collins, yeah, I mean, Collins, what did he score this week? He's been scoring decent, 48 points. I mean, this is a thing. There's just like, it's like take your pick, like the Totolas, the Collins, the Clemmers, the SESAs, like all these names who we've just been talking about. Like none of them, they're like all like, what, 5-10 points away from each other, Safidi. Like it's really not that much difference. That's why I'm just thinking, if I can, I might just cop it, just go Payne Haas, because the man is just bumping out 75s and 80s at ease. I know he's going to be very expensive, but I'm thinking I can just lock in someone who's going to get me some points. Or Tarpany, someone who still has some upside potentially. Really good performance from the Raiders. Maybe they click into gear. Whiten will be back next week as well. Fodawaker, let me see Fodawaker score. A couple of people have mentioned him. 55, maybe. Couchman from the Dragons, potentially. But this thing, again, 55, 48, 47s that we were seeing with Collins, etc. Like, it's just really not that much difference between any of them, really. So it just feels like a position that I don't want to be thinking too much about. Like, I'm seeing Junior Polo, Blake Laurie, Josh Papali'i. There's so many names coming out. I'm just like, they're all going to be about the same, so why don't we just go for Bahas and the Tarpany and the, or Tino, again, 59, a down week for him, and just leave it at that. maybe that's just the option. Another person saying Fodawaker from Jaden. Maybe Junior Polo. They do have a good draw, although he will go away with Origin, I guess. Gilbert is good. For the duel, as Ange says. That's one thing I do like about Gilbert. I know it sounds like somewhat chasing points, but he has scored 2 tries, I think, already, so he's shown an ability to score tries. And the minutes have been good. Like, 72 minutes at lock is good. He's been averaging 63 minutes to this point. The last 2 weeks weren't great, 45 and 45 in both weeks, so he does have a tendency to maybe score a little bit lower, but base stats average this season of 53, so at his price of 555, like he'll go up to about 570. Like, he feels like, a with the duel, like that already gives him so much more value than some of these other just strictly front row forward options. So I do like that he's duel, and he's looking good. Dolphins obviously looking fine as well. When do the Dolphins have a bye? Dolphins have a bye in round 11, so it's still a few weeks away, so you can kind of ride it out with him. And you have got some okay matchups with the Titans, but I mean, it doesn't really matter so much for a front row forward anyway. But yeah, Gilbert's probably one who I think he's looked better. He looked very good, obviously, this last week. Yeah, as Mudcrab says, getting a lock, playing decent minutes at front row forward with upside on try scoring under Wayne Bennett, not bad, plus his duel, so I think the duel is really handy. So as Waylord says, this is kind of how I feel. Either grab like a Lindsay Smith or just upgrade. Mid front row forwards are taking 30 to 40 average and hoping they just fall over the line. Yeah, even Hopgood to Gilbert, as Ange says, is potentially an option if you are looking for a second row forward around his price tag. Robbie says, do we start rating the Knights and the Warriors over the Eels? Now, this color change that I did in terms of the draw difficulty, I only did it last week, so it's still fairly recent. And obviously, we're only still like 6 weeks into the year. Knights are looking good. From a Supercoach perspective, they are still leaking points, I guess. So, attacks looked better. I think Ponga could be back this week as well. They have looked overall pretty good, but they're still prone to leaks, to leaking points, which is, I think, for Supercoach, what we're kind of interested in. So as long as the team can score points that we're buying the player from, and the team that they're versing can concede points, that's kind of all we're after, really, from a Supercoach standpoint. Mudcrab says, I think I'll be going Hopgood to Gilbert. Hopgood to Maddow is not a bad option as well, with Madison getting decent minutes. Just on Hopgood, like, He played 53 minutes, which is similar to the Madison role from last year, where Madison was getting around 55 to 60 minutes. I guess with Junior Polo coming back next week, I believe, when I say next week, it's this round, I should say. I'm forgetting it's Monday, not Sunday. The minutes may reduce again for Hopgood. So, yeah, I'll personally probably be looking to move on Hopgood, I think, this week. He didn't quite get to his break even, But if he's only getting 50 minutes and his PPM does, if he's going to be getting around those 40 to 50s, he has made quite a lot of money. I think it's probably fine to move him on. Madison, again, I think played pretty good minutes at lock. He played 73 minutes, so really good minutes. And Madison is just a good PPM player. Like, he's a really good, really high work rate. So he's always been a really solid option at for Supercoach point of view. Is Ponga an option at 5'8 dual? I don't think I can take the risk, to be honest, with Ponga. Just seeing the concussion history and everything, like, he's just, as with every concussion, I believe, it just becomes like, you can have just more innocuous hits ruling out players who are just more concussion prone. So for me at 5'8, I think you've got plenty of other options with Cody, dual bags. Munster is obviously still an option. I wish Sean Johnson was 5'8 listed as well. I would love to jump on Sean Johnson right now as an option. He's been killing it. But yeah, I don't think I can recommend Ponga. Despite the Knights playing well, I think I'll just go the safer route and get one of, like, Cody or Dylan Brown. Matt Burton, potentially. I mean, Matt Burton obviously didn't... he scored a double, didn't he? He scored a double, and he scored 57 points, which is not great, but Burton is still potentially an option as well. What dummy half should I go with? I have Mitch Kenny and Appy with the bye. I mean... sounds obvious, but Grant's still probably one who I'd be looking to prioritize. If not, maybe one of these cheaper options like a Sonny Luke. Jeremy Marshall-King, I think I saw a question about Jeremy Marshall-King earlier. He looked very good again, 89 points. He has looked pretty good all season, to be fair. You know, a couple of tries, good base though, 37 points in tackles, plus 47, almost 50 in base, which is pretty solid. But he has got that potential to get at attack stats as well. So I like Jeremy Marshall-King maybe as a bit of a pod play, but maybe even Damien Cook, for example. I think Cook did have to do quite a lot to get his score. Yeah, he had a try assist and a try contribution with two line break assists to get 73. So the base was down for Cook, but it was that kind of a game. Reece Robson as well is also an option. How did he score this week? Only 56. He's got probably better buy coverage than maybe a Damien Cook. You'd expect Cook to play Origin. Robson just might not quite be there. He might be. He was in the, I think, extended squad last year. So there's a few options. I still think hooker, like Harry Grant, is clear. Didn't have a great week this week, but like it's Grant. You know what you're going to get from him. If you're going to go down in price, then yeah, maybe I'd say like Sonny Luke. Ronald Volkman at 5'8". Martin is out for 6 weeks. Seems like a pod. Has that been confirmed with Tamari Martin? I know he had he picked up something, but I haven't heard the 6 weeks. I mean, if he is out for 6 weeks, and it might not be Volkman, it could be Luke Metcalf. I know Metcalf was good in the trials for the Warriors, but he picked up an injury. If he's back, he is a bottom dollar 5'8". So he might be an option as well, especially when the Warriors are looking good. So yeah, maybe it's one of Metcalf or Ronald Volkman, but I'd have to confirm the extent of that injury for Tamari Martin. I might have to check out NRL physio, because that one I've missed. Actually, I know he picked up something, but I didn't realize it was for 6 weeks. Okay, here we go. Six hours ago, there was an update. It's a leg injury, but unsure how much damage. Okay, I might just have to double check on that one. But if it is 6 weeks and it's Volkman, then yeah, maybe he's a shout. How much is Volkman in the game? He must be, surely he's bottom dollar. Please be bottom dollar. Not quite, 250k. I mean, with the Warriors playing well, then yeah, he's certainly an option. If you're looking to downgrade, I guess, at 5'8". Broken tibia, is it? Okay, I'll confirm that, but that does sound like a injury that will take more than a couple of weeks to get over if something's broken. Yes, okay, I'm just scrolling NRL Physio's account actually. Oh yeah, here we go. Okay, sorry, this is from yesterday. So yeah, suspected fibular fracture, so yep, if confirmed, it would be 6 to 8 weeks. Okay, so yeah, quite a long way away if he was to be injured. So yeah, could be Volkman. It's annoying again if it's a 5-8 position where, because Azeka Toll has been okay, like he's been doing fine, and his duel is really handy. Like having like that duel for Katoa shouldn't be underestimated. Like the ability to use him to switch him around and stuff is really, really good. So I wouldn't rush to try to sell him. But yeah, Volkman. Oh, Volkman's only in halfback. Oh yeah, of course I've got his profile right up here. Yeah, halfback only. That just makes it very difficult when you want to go Cleary, Hines, Johnson, Moses. Yeah, pretty tough. So I'd probably say no, he's probably one who's not one I'd recommend, if I'm being honest, just because of the position that he's in. Campero, job security, a worry or not? I know Jojo Fifita was in the extended squad, but he got cut pre-team. Maybe Ken Mamalo, but we'll see what TLT says. If he's still playing this week and he's got a low break even, then cool. But yeah, if he gets dropped, I mean, on the eye, he looks fine. He doesn't strike me as someone who's underperforming in that Tigers and that Titans team. Sorry, yeah, he's looked quite good. Mudcraft says, "By the month, thank you for your time and effort once again. Thanks for the entertainment after another good round of footy. Love your input and opinions, Mudcraft. Really appreciate that lovely comment. Thank you so much. I will probably wrap up the stream there as well, guys. We've been going on for about an hour. We'll be back obviously very shortly this week with TLT only being tomorrow. Haven't decided if it'll be tomorrow or Wednesday, but we'll definitely do something this week. So keep your questions coming in the comments of the stream, but I'm pretty certain I know what the certain topic areas will be this week. Front or forward was quite a long discussion point. But yeah, if you guys enjoy the stream, please do give it a thumbs up. Please do subscribe as well if you haven't already. We've actually hit over 2,800. If we get to 3,000 subscribers this season, that would be amazing. I would really appreciate that. So anyone who's watching who's not a subscriber, please do consider subscribing, and you'll see more streams throughout the year. But yeah, we'll wrap up that there. Hope you all had a good long weekend. Back to work tomorrow. Sad times, but at least talking about Supercoach helps numb the blow a little bit. Oh, holy moly, wait, I can't end it now. Tom J, what, you have gifted 20 memberships, mate. You are a champion. What a legend. Tom has just gifted 20 memberships to people in the chat. Now that is generous. He's in the Easter spirit, guys. Give Tom a massive shout out in the chat. Super generous from him. Being a member, in terms of benefits, you do get free access to the buy planner spreadsheet, which I've been showing. So there's a link to that that you get as a member, but apart from that, no other additional content. But no, thank you so much, Tom Day. That was a really, really generous. And so everyone who became a member as a result of that, please give lots of love to Tom in the chat. What a way to wrap end the stream. Really appreciate that. All right, guys. Thank you, Tom, in particular. But thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll see you in the next one. And give all your shout-outs to Tom for that amazing generosity at the end of the stream there. But see you all in the next one. Have a good one.